from the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. We're talking Duke baseball. Welcome to This Week in Duke Baseball with head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show is brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. Now, here's your host, the voice of Blue Devil baseball, Chris Edwards.
Welcome to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and the latest installment of the Duke Baseball Show. I'm Chris Edwards. Great to be with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard, and great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Coach, coming off a 2-2 week, the midweek win over Towson, and then the back-and-forth series against North Carolina this past week. And biggest takeaways for you this past week for the ball club was what?
Yeah, you know, I thought that, number one, our bullpen was really good. You know, I thought our infield defense was really good, and I was really pleased with the transition that Andrew Fisher made to third base and you know, stepping in on Friday and Saturday and not only, you know, handling it emotionally, but really playing the position really well. I thought that we were tough in terms of our poise and our composure. You know, that I've been to Boshimer Stadium dozens and dozens of times over 30 years, and that was the best atmosphere I can ever remember in that ballpark, and it felt like a regional or super regional kind of atmosphere, and I thought our guys held up to that really well. And as you mentioned, three back and forth ball games that really in every case kind of came down to one swing of the bat that was the difference, right? I mean, you had the three-run home run on Thursday night for them, and then the three-run home run on Friday night for us, and then the three-run home run on Saturday for them. So, you know, you take away those three swings, it's basically an even ball game all the way through for 3 days.
Yeah, you talk about the atmosphere and the environment at Boshimer Stadium. Played in a really tough environment at Clemson the last week, too. Feel like your team is getting used to playing in these big-time environments?
I do, and I told our guys this, Chris. You know, you do this long enough, you peek at the schedule in the fall and in the preseason, and you look at the kind of stretches, and you say, okay, where's the gauntlet you got to run, right? I mean, where's that just that stretch that's going to really test you? And that's not to say that any other stretches of the year are easy. They're not. But you're going to butt up against a stretch that's just going to really challenge you and stretch your personnel. And I really felt like the double midweek leading into ACC play against the Atlantic Division preseason favorite, and then you got to turn around and go on the road for the first time, and you go to a ballpark in Doug Kingsmore that's been historically a challenging place for ACC teams to play, and then you turn around and you play a UNC team on the road that's picked to win the Coastal, and you know, that's always an emotionally charged series, and you're doing it on short rest. And the way that a couple of those double headers fell in there with you go short week with the double midweek leading up to Wake Forest. So you've got a double midweek, which already stretches you a little bit, and then that series gets moved to a Friday-Saturday with a doubleheader on Saturday. So that becomes a short week because of the doubleheader on Saturday. So that places even more pressure on your staff, and then you have the doubleheader on Saturday leading into what was already a planned short week. And so I thought it really challenged our depth as a pitching staff, and I thought we held up to that test really, really well.
I want to highlight a couple of guys individually from your pitching staff, and I want to start with Charlie Bielenson, pitched in all three games this weekend of the Carolina series. And then we talked about it pregame on Saturday. Hey, one-inning guy going to get us off the field. Came in and did his job, got a big double play ball, and kept your club in it.
No, I thought Charlie was really tough, and I told him that. I told our team that at our pre-practice meeting yesterday, and I told him that individually. You know, and – obviously, the box score line doesn't look great from the Friday game, but, you know, it was two 0-2 counts, an 0-2 count that led to a walk and an 0-2 count that was an HBP, and then an infield single and a C&I single. So, I mean, it looks a lot worse than it really was. He was actually pitching very effectively. And so it was a good body of work over the course of the week. And, you know, it's a taking the ball there on Saturday the way he did, I thought showed a lot of grit.
How about Owen Prosh and Aiden Weaver and the job that they did? Really solid outings for both those guys, especially on Saturday.
Yeah, and the thing you love about it is both those guys, you know, had short memories. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Owen, you know, got tested a little bit on Thursday night, and Aiden had a short outing on both Tuesday and then again on Friday, and then is tough enough to have a short memory with that and come out, and both those guys gave us really quality innings to keep the scoreboard clean and keep us within striking distance on Saturday.
You brought Adam Boucher out of the bullpen on Thursday night, and I thought his stuff was really, really live in that ball game against Carolina.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it did a couple things. One, his stuff really ticked up, and that was great to see. And, Coach Kirkpatrick and I have talked about it. It's a lot harder to game plan for what he does when he comes out of the pen. You know, you typically have to game plan for the starting pitcher because you don't know when you're going to see, you know, relievers, you know, and if you're going to see relievers. And so you wind up spending all your time and energy on the starter. And because of that, you know, when Adam is a starter, you're able to game plan for what he does, which is that fastball at the top of the zone. But and so you're expecting it, you're anticipating it, you've been coached to lay off that pitch if it's slightly above the zone. When you're coming in out of the pen, you don't have a chance to have that game plan. That becomes a lot harder pitch to lay off of, and so I thought it was a really effective outing. And you look at the numbers. I mean, heck, you know, Boucher is throwing the ball really, really good. You know, I mean, 24 strikeouts in 17 innings. I was looking at his ACC numbers today. His ACC numbers are, you know, 10 strikeouts in 5 innings. So, you know, he's getting a lot of swing and miss. I thought that the shape of the cutter or slider or whatever you want to call it looked good on Thursday, and so I thought that was a positive.
This is probably going to be the understatement of the day, but Fran O'Shell was really daggone good on Friday night.
Yeah, it's really electric. I mean, it's special stuff. It's elite, outlier kind of stuff, and he's got a bulldog mentality where he's just going to go right at you. And when you have that kind of fastball, I mean, he was up to 98.6. So you can call that a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, but he was sitting 96, 97, and touching 98. When you can land your curveball in the zone the way he does, and it's a good shape pitch, you know, so guys can't just key on the fastball. They have to respect the breaking ball. That's tough to hit. That's a lot to have to try to cover.
Well, even if he's landing the curveball, right, with the fastball that's 96, 98, whatever it is, he's 6'7". We talk about extension, right?
Yeah, doesn't angle, extension.
The fastball plays even faster than that, doesn't it?
No question. I think it's a great point. It is. It's truly because of the type of velo, because of the extension, because of the angles that he creates with his size, it is truly an outlier kind of pitch.
We've also talked about how Fran just loves those high-energy moments coming out of the bullpen. Did you sense that he kind of fed on that as he went back out there?
No question. He loved that moment, you know, on Friday night, and he deserves it. He's earned it. It's been a lot of fun watching his growth in our program.
How about James Talon? Really daggone good again this weekend. Came in, got out there in the eighth inning against Ozuna or Horvath, and then comes out and pitches the ninth inning and gets the save.
Yeah, and I mean, to come on there in the eighth and Horvath, yeah, who's already burned you once on the weekend, who's, you know, I think second in the country in home runs after the weekend, he's the tying run. And you got to get that guy, and you know, everybody in the ballpark, including Horvath, knows the fastball's coming, and you still can't hit it. That's pretty special.
What'd you think about the start by Santucci on Friday?
Really good. It was a short week start, yeah, you know, and he'd been dealing with some fatigue because he'd worked up to close to 100 pitches in his three previous starts, and that's the first time really in his career that he'd done that. Mm-hmm. And then now you've had three kind of longer starts from a pitch count standpoint in a row, and now you got to turn around and start on short rest. And I thought he pitched really effectively, but I told him, and I think he was pleased as well. You know, the stuff held really good. I mean, he didn't lose his stuff, and so I thought that was a really positive thing. And I think this will be a key week for him because he now gets a full week to prepare for Pitt.
What about Alex Gall on Saturday and the way he competed for your club?
Yeah, I thought Alex pitched really well, you know, and I think probably on me, you know, I think if you get do-overs and you don't get do-overs, but if you did, I think we'd pull him after four when the lineup turned over. You know, he'd been through the lineup twice and it pitched really well, and you know, so I but That doesn't change the fact that he was really effective and he landed all three pitches in the strike zone.
We talked about defense earlier, but how about the double play that Fisher turned there in the fourth inning to get you off the field when you really needed to get off the field there? Carolina had a rally Brewitt on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought our infield defense was really, really good all weekend.
Only held North Carolina to two stolen bases this weekend, a team that was really effective and adept at running the bases. Do you feel like your club has been one that has become really good at controlling the running game?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the numbers, we're averaging less than an attempt per game, you know, through 24 ball games. I think we've had 22 attempts against us. You know, and our philosophy, our strategy has always been prevent the attempt. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't judge success by how many guys we throw out. Now, we've thrown out a lot of guys. You look, and we've thrown out 8 out of 22. So we've thrown out close to 40% of the would-be base stealers, and that's really exceptional. And that's a credit to Alex Stone and how well he's playing, and credit to the fact that our pitchers are close to the plate, but are quick to the plate, rather. But, you know, really our philosophy is we don't want guys even attempting in the first place. And the best way you do that is you keep would-be base stealers off the bases, and I thought for the most part this weekend we did that. We limited Honeycutt and Horvath's opportunities on the bases. Another thing you can do is play with a lead, and we've done a lot of that so far through this first third of the season. And you know, so I've liked our ability to control the running game to this point in the year.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Coach from Tobacco Road after this on the Blue Devil Sports Network from Learfield.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Ha-ha, Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Everyone has an idea of their perfect engagement ring. You'll know it when you see it, but you have to see it. Allura Bridal from Reed's Jewelers. 8 stunning collections with over 300 styles. Yellow, rose, or white gold. Two-tone, stacks, pavé, solitaires, wraps, guards. Your perfect ring exists. All you have to do is come and see it. It's your style and your choice with Allura Bridal. Only at Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com.
I feel happy, Valero Pay Plus app.
I feel happy, it makes savings a snap.
Use it and start saving automatically.
You just save some money, none too shabby.
I feel happy, I'm in and out real fast.
I feel happy, now pit stops are a blast.
Download today and get in on the fun.
Valero Pay Plus app, your savings have begun.
For any surface in every season, there's a Continental tire that delivers superior performance. From ultra-high performance tires like the Extreme Contact Sport to passenger touring tires to all-terrain light truck tires like the Terrain Contact AT. Continental has a tire that gives you confidence no matter the road conditions. Whether you're looking for summer, all-season, or winter tires, Continental Tire has something to fit your needs. Visit ContinentalTire.com to find your ideal tire. Continental Tire, a proud partner of the Duke Blue Devils.
Enjoying the game but not the drink being spilled down your back or the foam finger poking you in the face? Well, head to the concession stand, grab a Lindy's Italian Ice, and take a 6-ounce vacation. A 6-ounce cup of lemon Italian ice will make you feel like you're swaying in a hammock and the only thing in your face is a cool, salty breeze. And that ought to have you refreshed. Now get your head back in the game and start belting out blue and white with the youthful exuberance of the freshman behind you. Yes, the same one that keeps spilling his drink down your back. Lindy's Italian Ice. Have an ice day.
Duke fans know about excellence and achievement and the value of a Duke education. So when someone is injured and needs legal help, it makes sense to call the law offices of James Scott Farron, a statewide law firm managed by a Duke Law graduate. If you're injured in an auto accident or on the job, call on the Hurt Line, 1-800-HURT-LINE. Bullo offices of James Scott Farron, headquartered near Duke at 555 Magnum Street in Durham, North Carolina.
It's bow time. Yep, it's eating time again. Now you could unload groceries, chop, dice, mince, preheat, heat, slap around the smoke detector, and then celebrate with a big old pile of dishes. But if you're tired of cooking, or tired of sort of cooking, it's time to feed the whole family with Bojangles Fried Chicken Family Meal. With Bojangles' famous chicken, fixins, biscuits, and tea, you can forget the cookbook and spend some well-earned quality time with a delicious dinner from Bojangles. It's bow time.
We're back at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe with the Duke Baseball Show on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Back with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Coach, let's turn our attention to the offense from this past weekend. Got some really quality at-bats up and down the lineup. Pleased with the quality of the at-bats you got as the weekend unfolded?
Yeah, it was great to see Gio have a lot of really good at-bats. I thought we got really good production out of the nine hole with both him and Obi. And we were actually talking, Coach Tyler and I were talking this morning, and you look at what those guys have done combined in a platoon situation out of the nine hole. I mean, it's, you know, I think you'd take that any day of the week with a combined, you know, those guys are both hitting over 300, and you've got now, I think, six home runs and closing in on double digit doubles, six steals from Gio. So we've, you know, really gotten a lot of production out of that nine hole. And I thought that, you know, that 7-8-9 with Albright going to left field was really good for us on Friday. So love it when you can get that kind of productivity out of the bottom of your lineup.
I had Aaron look this up before the weekend series. We were talking about it earlier. If you look at Andrew Fisher's first 21 games of his rookie year, very comparable to Lope Profito's first 21 games of his freshman year in 2018. Lope was a freshman All-American, freshman All-ACC. Certainly feels like Fish is kind of on that trajectory too.
Well, I got to take it one day at a time, but he's doing a lot of really special things. And I just kind of marvel at some of the things that he's been able to accomplish through these first 24 games of the season. It's, you know, you watch him in the batter's box, he just doesn't seem like a freshman. His plate discipline, the ability to get his best swing off when he wants to get his best, when it's a time to get your best swing off, the ability to have adjustability in your swing when you need to be able to do that in two-strike situations, the ability to hit the ball to all fields. It's just really advanced, Chris, and you combine that with the power. It's, you know, he's got a really special future ahead of him.
I'm just curious now because there's more video, there's more data available, right? Because he's seen more pitchers. We're getting deeper into ACC play. Teams are probably going to adjust the way they pitch
sure.
to him, and now he's got to adjust to them too, right?
No question. I thought you saw that some over the weekend. You know, UNC decided to try to pound him inside some, and you know that you got good coaches and really good arms in our league. So you know they're going to game plan for him, but you know he doesn't have a lot of holes. Mm-hmm. It's not like he has a ton of length in his barrel or he makes, you know, he's able, because of the swing he has and because of the eye discipline he has, he's able to make late decisions. And you know, guys like that, they don't have a ton of holes.
Kind of along those same lines with Mooney, you look at Alex's first 21 games or so this year compared to his freshman year. He's certainly getting on base at a lot higher clip, better batting average. That just comes with experience, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, it, you know, you and I have talked about this. It comes with the fact that, you know, Alex is healthy,
and
he's doing so many things well. I mean, he's defending at a really high level. He's running the bases at a really high level. He's, you know, both in league and out of league, he's getting on base at about a .450 clip. So 45% of the time, he's getting to first base. And on top of all of that, the job he's doing just as an emotional leader for this team. You know, the energy that he brings with him day in and day out, the competitive fight, I that shouldn't be overlooked or left undiscussed. He's just a super competitive, uber competitive guy, and so he raises the competitive fight of the people around him.
We talked about defense. There was a ball he caught moving up towards center field Saturday. I didn't think anybody was going to get to that baseball.
Horvath.
Made it look really easy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when it first came off the bat, I said, oh, gosh, that's a hit. And then all of a sudden he's there. You know, he's got tremendous range, and he's got instincts, and he's quick off the ball.
We talked earlier this year about Damon Lux finally being healthy and how much that's helped Damon, and he had some really quality at-bats this weekend, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Friday was one of his best days in the program. You know, I mean, it just really locked in and a really high compete factor in the batter's box. But, you know, he's having really good at-bats and, you know, and showing off some of that power. And the thing that Damon does is he handles the right-handed breaking ball well, you know, and he can drive the right-handed breaking ball.
We probably should talk about Jay Beshears, too. We talk about moving the chains a lot, and I thought Jay did that. Some big doubles for your club this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you can take Jay Beshears for granted if you're not careful because he's so good. You just expect him to go up to the plate and hit a double, you know. But he's right now he's got 11 doubles on the year. He's got 6 home runs. I mean, 17 extra base hits through 25 ball games. That's pretty impressive. So, you know, he's a really, really good player, and he's playing great defense. And you know, gosh, it's nice having that guy coming up to the plate 3 or 4 times a game.
We talked about this postgame after the win on Friday, but it was your 700th career win. I know how you feel about these kind of numbers, but really nice milestone for you to achieve. And congratulations on 700, and here's to about 700 more.
Yeah, well, the best part of it, Chris, has just been connecting with players, you know, and that part of this has been meaningful to me. I've, you know, talked with or texted with so many of our former players. The welcome that our current team gave me when I got on the bus on Friday night is something that I'll never forget. It's truly a highlight of my career. And then talking with and connecting with our future players who follow the program closely, that's a meaningful part for me.
As we talk about former players, got to give a shout-out to all our guys who are starting their regular seasons, big league baseball, minor league baseball, all starting this year, and we're wishing them a great season as well.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's here. You know, I mean, the Bulls crank up on Friday, and best of luck to the Durham Bulls as they get their season started. And, you know, and they've had such a whirlwind of an off season with the construction, and I know they're chomping at the bit to have this opening night go great. And, you know, you had mentioned our guys, our former players that are out and about, and, you know, been texting. One of the things I was doing yesterday during the off day, we weren't playing, but I got home a little earlier than you would normally get home on a Sunday. So I'm sitting there watching some of the Liberty and Austin Peay game, and texting back and forth with some of our guys, and trying to figure out where they're going to break camp and, you know, and what, how things are going, and that was a lot of fun to share in their excitement as they're getting ready to start their professional seasons.
How excited are you, because the weather looks great for this week, and how excited are you to hopefully play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not a short week, no doubleheaders, just play the games like it's supposed
to
be
played? Yeah, no, it'd be nice. I mean, it'd give us a chance. We haven't had a chance to practice some things. I mean, we brought up some things in our staff meeting this morning. You know, it's little things that sound simple. It sound, you know, like backing up bases. But when you're playing so much and you're playing in short weeks and you've got to, you know, we use the expression save bullets. I mean, you can't practice everything, and you don't want to beat guys up because you got to turn around and play the next day. So it'll be nice to get in this stretch of several weeks in a row of 4-game weeks. Because it gives us an extra practice day. It's something we haven't had a lot of. And so we'll be able to work at our craft a little bit more, and I think that'll help us.
Let's talk about this week a little bit. You head to Lynchburg tomorrow to take on a Liberty team that's playing really good baseball, and then Pittsburgh comes down here. Pitt's had a couple big wins at the Coombs this weekend, Friday night at 6, Saturday at 3, Sunday at 1. Can you talk about the week to come for your club?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, we're catching Liberty as they're starting to kind of figure some things out. They had a big midweek win over a very good Old Dominion team, and then they take 2 out of 3 to win the series versus Austin Peay, and you knew that they were going to get it going at some point, and now they have. They're always really good in that ballpark, so it's a great test for our guys, but I'm excited for us to go up there and play. It's a beautiful ballpark and a beautiful setting, and then we turn around and play Pitt, who just came off a really impressive weekend, taking 2 out of 3. They actually went 3-1 this past week with the midweek win versus Kent, so they're playing good baseball, and, you know, they can hit. You know, the one thing that Pitt's done a really good job with, they've done a good job of staying older, you know. I mean, they keep their guys around, you know, guys like Sky Duff and C.J. Funk and Kyle Hess. You feel like they've been there for 7-8 years, but then they go out and they get a couple of fifth-year guys – always to mix in with those guys. You know, Jack Anderson's a transfer from Northwestern. Noah Martinez, a transfer from Central Connecticut State, who had a really good career there. And so, you know, they're old. They got a bunch of fifth. You start going down the lineup on that team. It's just fifth-year guy after fifth-year guy after fifth-year guy. And so they don't beat themselves. And they can hit. You know, they've shown the ability to kind of score with teams. And so it'll be a unique challenge. But I'm really fired up about being at Coombs this weekend. I think we're going to have great crowds. The weather's going to be great. We'll get some students out and get them engaged. And so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Also, Duke University employees can come out, $5 tickets all weekend long for Duke University employees. Just call the ticket office, 919-681-BLUE, or email marketing@duke.edu. Want to see a lot of Duke fans, Duke employees, and as you mentioned, Duke students out of Coombs this week.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll get a great group of Duke employees and Duke students. We've got South Durham Little League that'll be in the ballpark. We've got Pearson County Little League that'll be in the ballpark this weekend. And so, you know, it'll be a really fun weekend for us, and our guys are looking forward to the challenge ahead.
How big is your pass list for Lynchburg tomorrow?
Pretty big, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's neat. You know, siblings and high school friends, and my dad will be there, and so it'll be fun to catch up with family a little bit. We don't chat much. We get about 2 minutes after the game's over before getting on the bus and headed out. But it's still fun to get back to Lynchburg and enjoy competing against Liberty and Scott Jackson. I have a ton of respect for, and he's a good friend. And so there's a lot to enjoy about making that trip.
Well, I don't want to miss this. Really exciting thing that happened in our community over the weekend with the Miracle League field just down the street from us right now at Tobacco Road by the ballpark.
Just awesome.
Yeah, it's so great. So many people have had a hand in getting this thing off the ground, and we're excited for the Miracle League and all that's going to come with that ballpark.
Yeah, just grateful, you know, for everybody that's been involved in bringing this to a reality from the folks at the Miracle League, you know, Benji Capps and Cindy Vagel, and the job they do of running that organization, Miracle League of the Triangle, to the Goodman family and Capital Broadcasting and Duke. I mean, Duke mm-hmm. got behind this thing and the community that's gotten behind it here in Durham. And it's a beautiful ballpark. For anybody who hadn't been over there yet, it's just a beautiful stadium. And, you know, because we were playing, I wasn't able to get to opening day on Saturday, but I saw the news highlights, and it looked like just a blast had by everybody. And, you know, if anybody out there has never been and either participated as a buddy at one of the Miracle League games or just gone and sat and watched and supported the event, it's worth the time. It really is. It's very meaningful. And as I say every time somebody asks me about it, if you go and you participate, you spend time as a buddy, you'll never, ever leave there feeling like you put in more than you got back. I mean, you always leave those Miracle League games feeling like you got way more out of it than you put into it. It's just, you can't help but feel grateful and feel joy.
I'll wrap up with this thought. Give us a couple of keys for your club to be successful over the four games this week.
Yeah, so, you know, we need to get length out of some guys tomorrow that gave us length against Towson, you know, and that protects our pen and keeps us from having to stretch anybody past a point where they're all of a sudden not fresh for the weekend. You know, and so that I think is a key. You know, we'll need to continue to defend at a high level, and you know, we'll need to continue to be opportunistic with our offensive opportunities.
All right, Coach, thanks for the time. We'll holler at you the pregame tomorrow up in Lynchburg.
Sounds great.
That's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe for the Duke Baseball Show.
You've been listening to This Week in Duke Baseball with Blue Devils head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show was brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Blue Devils Sports Network.